You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke and Cameron Parker of Predominantly Orange, your daily Broncos podcast.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast, your daily bite-sized podcast here at the Locked On NFL Network, giving you the best coverage of all things orange and blue related. It's a big show today. We are well-adjusted. I tell you what, I'm feeling good because we're joined here today by Mario Vitanzi, and we're going to dive into our Broncos thought of the day. Today's show, we're going to analyze in-depth for the first three segments of the show. We're going to talk about which Broncos players may need to rebound in 2019 in a new scheme and a new culture. And Broncos Country chimed in on Twitter over there at Cody Rourke NFL. We're going to provide some back and forth. We're going to challenge some of the responses that we received, but more in depth. It's going to be a fun time. So as always, want to welcome my co-host Cameron Parker. Want to welcome Mario Vitanzi. Guys, how's it going today?
It's going great, man. It was a Monday. Now it's a Tuesday, which means we are the Locked On Broncos podcast is going up on a Tuesday. That's basically how I'm feeling. I don't know. It may be corny, but hey, it's a Tuesday.
Hey man, I go up on all days that end in Y, so I'm ready to get this working. Let's go.
All righty. So hey, you heard it here first, Broncos Country. We're well adjusted. That means you guys are about to be well adjusted here. The doctor is with us, and so we're gonna dive into our Broncos thought of the day. And these three segments, we're gonna talk about. We asked the question, which players need to rebound in 2019 and why? And we got a lot of great responses from Broncos Country. We'll go over those. And
did you also get some stupid responses? That's the question.
You know, we did. We got a little bit of both. We got some responses that are, you know what, I can accept that. And then we had some responses that almost kind of made you scratch your head and say, oh, okay, did we watch the film here? Because that's the most important thing. We live in a time where a lot of people will look at box scores rather than watching game film. And the box score doesn't always tell you anything, especially on the defensive side of the ball, which there are a lot of defensive players mentioned here. But we got Mario here, we got Cameron here, so let's dive right into it. One of the things, though, okay, don't take it personal if we respond to yours and we challenge it a little bit. You know, Broncos Country, don't take it personal. This is just us going back
you
and forth.
You can take it personal if I say because gloves are coming off. Okay, fair warning.
Gloves are coming off. You heard it there, man.
I know you guys got to be PC because this is your show. And if it gets a little raw, then it gets a little raw. But I'm not pulling my punches right now.
Hey,
your discretion.
I'm fired up.
The gloves are off. We're going bare knuckle boxing.
Your discretion advised. Yeah, I'm getting adult.
All right, so we're going to go to the first response of the day. It's from Jeff Jackson at True JJ32. He says Justin Simmons as one of the players to rebound in 2019. The reason why, he says he was looking like a Pro Bowler to be in his first year. Then this last year at times, he looked like he shouldn't have been on the field. Simmons has all the physical tools to be a star in the NFL. And I think with Fangio in this D, he can be that star. Now, I'm going to go here first and then we'll go down the gauntlet here. But Jeff, in my opinion, look, I would say Justin Simmons did a lot. I mean, he played a lot of positions last season for the Broncos defensively. He didn't get to play his true spot on the field at safety. He was moving around. He was covering the slot. He was lined up outside a corner. He was lined up as strong safety. He played some free safety. He played a little bit of dime. He did a little bit of everything there. And so with that, there's a learning curve. And he didn't miss a single snap. So I'm going to give Justin Simmons some slack. The one thing that I could say I thought Justin Simmons could have done a better job of last season was, I would say, embracing contact a little bit. It looked like sometimes when a running back would be running there, it looked like he'd kind of whiff sometimes or like he'd be scared to go after him a little bit. I don't know what that was. Look, I go back and I watch film. I don't know what's going on during that time. It could be out of position. It could just be a bad angle. But Justin Simmons flashed a lot of different things last year. He's going to have a big, big role in Coach Fangio's offense. He's going to be the premier superstar in the same exact way that they had it with last year with Eddie Jackson and other guys at safety in Chicago. Coach Fangio's got his hand on this nucleus here. And I think Justin Simmons, I think he'll have a bounce back year. I think he's going to have a big year. I think this will be his best year as a pro yet.
Yeah, I mean, Mario even attested to the amount of positions he even mentioned in the last episode that we had, and I'm all for it. I've been on record as saying that Justin Simmons is going to make the Pro Bowl in 2019. I mean, we've seen him at his best as a tackler. I mean, really, he really is a terrific tackler, and it was just one of those seasons where did it go? I mean, he really is one of the better tacklers on the team. And so I maybe that was coaching. Maybe that was just, you know, the more infectious nature of a losing attitude, a more of a losing culture, should we say, of the last two seasons. But yeah, Justin Simmons, he's a terrific athlete, and it clearly shows on the field. It shows every single Sunday when you see him lined up, or really wherever he's lined up. But to have him being a point of advantage, should we say, of this defense, it's going to do wonders for him, and it's really going to do wonders for his career, because as we all know, in a contract year, you're going to be seen, or trying to be seen, to be playing your best ball.
You know, it's interesting, because when I saw the tweet, Cody, that we were going to be talking about guys that need bounce back years, I started thinking about that term, because it's kind of open ended. It's up for debate. It's up for discussion. What exactly? Justin was actually one of the guys that popped in my mind as far as bounce back season. And that's not necessarily to say that he had a bad year last year. You know, we've seen the athletic interceptions that he made. I mean, shoot, he picked off Patrick Mahomes. Not a lot of guys did that. Blocks field goals. I think he has like, what, 3 or 4 blocked field goals already in his young career. But I think it goes back, like we discussed last week and like what you guys were touching on, it goes back to the system that they were running. They were in cover zero way too often for a defense to be running. And they're having Justin Simmons, or they were last year, playing basically a corner. And people don't see that. You know, we talk about the casual fan. The casual fan doesn't see that. They see Justin Simmons is a safety. He's playing safety. That's not how it works. They had him play several different positions, very few of which, or really none of which, he played at Boston College, none of which that he excelled at. He's such a fantastic athlete that he was able to kind of get by and have a level of success playing those different positions. But I think you talk about that. There was a little bit of fluctuation between the other safety spot. Darian Stewart was hurt a little bit. Will Park started getting playing time. We saw Demonte Thomas out there. We saw a lot of fluctuation with the cornerbacks, obviously. You know, they're signing guys off the street. They brought in Pac-Man Jones, for God's sake. So I think there was a lot of disconnect in that secondary. It wasn't necessarily no-fly zone last year. I know Chris Harris says, you know, as long as I'm here, no-fly zone is here. It's like, Chris is the only one left. you got to call a spade a spade. It's like, if you want to call it baby no fly zone, no fly zone 2.0, then you got to show me something more than you showed me last year. I think the personnel is there. I think the X's and O's of what goes into it is going to play a bigger role in this, because Justin has all the potential in the world. Justin has the potential absolutely to be a Pro Bowl caliber, hell, even an all-pro caliber safety, just based on some of the plays that we have seen him make. Maybe be a more sure tackler, but at the same time, we're used to guys like TJ Ward and Darian Stewart, guys that are going to go in there, play in the box, and just knock someone's block off. That's not the kind of player that Justin Simmons is. That's the kind of player that, you know, a Will Parks and a Suha Cravens are. But you get Justin Simmons to make athletic plays at safety. You let him roam the field, read the coverages, read the quarterback's eyes, and go after picks. That's what Justin Simmons needs to do. So in a sense, I do agree with that. I think he needs to have a bounce back year, but not because he had a bad year, but because he was put in a rough position and he was asked to do a lot of stuff that no NFL player should be asked to do. But of course, this is the NFL. They get paid the big bucks, so you got to do what you're told.
You really do. And you mentioned there too, you brought up Demonte Thomas, which the Broncos actually just brought him back on another deal to stay in Denver for this season and next season. The cool thing about that is Demonte Thomas, so young, very versatile, can be a hybrid type guy that can play strong safety, that can play dime linebacker, maybe even cover in the slot, frees up Justin Simmons to be that athletic versatile guy that he's been, that we saw back a couple seasons ago where he was in a good position and he didn't have to do as many things. He could focus on doing one job, and he did it pretty darn well, and he's going to continue to evolve. I think it's going to be a bounce back year. I think he's going to have a better year this year, and like you said, it doesn't always have to be a bad thing. The next guy that we have here on the list is from C Hustle. He says Jamal Carter, and it's interesting too, because guys, when we talk about the word rebound, and Mario, I'm glad you clarified this, it doesn't mean that they had a bad season. It doesn't mean that, you know, they got to prove anything. More so for a guy like Jamal Carter, look, he made a phenomenal play in the preseason, which he resulted in tearing his hamstring, which If you guys have ever done that, it sucks. It's painful. I'd rather break a bone than tear a ligament. But that ended his season, and he was fighting to make the roster, and he was proven that he could play. I mean, that was one of the biggest things. The Broncos went down to San Francisco a couple years ago, and they scrimmaged the 49ers during training camp. Jamal Carter was tearing it up in one-on-ones against the 49ers offense, and he has some promise in this Broncos defense. He could be that under-the-radar guy that nobody talks about. But why would this be a rebound year for him in 2019? Well, look, you didn't play in 2018. We know the NFL is a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately business. Coming off of an injury, it's always one of the biggest obstacles for any pro athlete because they get behind the ball a little bit. Now, he's got to come back in training camp, OTAs, mini camp, the offseason program, which ironically starts today. Broncos getting back to work today as a team, getting on the field, getting some of that stuff inside the weight room with Lauren Lando and his training staff. With Jamal Carter, he's a guy that definitely has to come in at training camp and turn some heads.
You know, and I think that here's kind of why I'm maybe a little bit hesitant on the word rebound with Jamal Carter. I think that Jamal Carter is the forgotten guy, per se, in that safety group, and he's not talked about nearly enough, and, you know, and potentially where his grooming will be in the safety, you know, net, or even having him be taken full advantage of, should we say, of his talent. But I feel like the term rebound is something that you get from like a comeback player of the year, a guy that showed a lot of promise, should we say, for a full season, and then went away, and then all of a sudden he's going to come back again. That to me seems like the best case for a rebound candidate. I'm not saying that Jamal Carter certainly had shown his moments, because he did show his moments in the preseason, but we're also talking about the preseason and not during a huge span of games during the regular season. So I think that, yes, I think that Jamal Carter certainly is the underrated guy, and at least in my opinion of that group, but has he really solidified himself per se as that type of player as a rebound candidate? I don't know.
All right, this is the one that I'm going to take issue with. To be a bounce back player candidate, I feel like you had to have done something not only the previous year or yes, the year prior to that, but you had to have done something at some point in your career. And again, this is not an indictment on Jamal Carter. They're very high on him. They like him a lot. Otherwise, they don't keep him around still after all of this stuff. They have a very good safety room, and a lot of the guys that I've talked to, they like Jamal a lot. So let me just say that. Like, this is not an indictment on Jamal. Yeah. But the guy has 11 career tackles, okay? He might have started a game in 2017 when Justin Simmons went down with an injury. I honestly don't remember. I try and forget every aspect of that season. But the guy has not put together any sort of career yet where we can say, oh, we can expect a lot from him. He's made plays in preseason. Great. A lot of guys that do that, you know, also don't have a job in the NFL. Some of them are in the AAF. Some of them are selling insurance. Some of them are car salesmen. Okay. It's not enough to make a couple plays and then everybody gets all high on you. He was an undrafted guy, so he was unproven. I'm sure he has a chip on his shoulder. And now if you're going to ask me, is this a guy that I want to see what he can do? Absolutely. We have a great safety room. We have a very underrated safety room. This is why they didn't go out and sign an Adrian Amos. This is why they'll probably not draft a safety. And if they do, it'll be a later pick, you know, a little bit more for depth, or it'll be an issue where Justin Simmons and Will Parks both have contract. They're both in contract years, so they just need some depth, and we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But to say that he needs to have a bounce back year, he doesn't need to bounce back. He needs to show out for the first time.
I think that's a very valuable standpoint there. I think it's a great perspective that you mentioned there. I mean, we can't measure a lot of guys yet because, you know, there's not much of a sample size that we've seen when it counts in the regular season. Jamal Carter qualifies as one of those guys. We know the potential that he can bring defensively, what we've seen in preseason, but we've got to see a little bit more. This will be a defining year for him to maybe make a statement in training camp and preseason. But like you said, the Broncos safety room, they've got a lot of guys in there. And we're going to continue getting through our Broncos thought of the day on the possible question, which players in fans' minds may need to rebound in the year 2019. But before we jump into that, I got to remind you guys to subscribe to the podcast on the new Himalaya podcasting app. You guys already listen on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, wherever else you get your podcast. But now, Himalaya Radio can now get you going with the Locked On Broncos podcast. All right, we're back here with our Broncos Thought of the Day. We're joined by Mario Vitanzi, Cameron Parker. It's a jam-packed show, and it's going to go a little bit longer. I know Broncos country are like, well, we want, you know, longer episodes than 30 minutes. But sometimes when we do these things, guess what? We can go a little bit over 30 minutes. So guess what, Broncos country, you guys have a lot of action in store for you today. The next kind of discussion that we're going to go through is from Derek Johnson. He says, Joe Flacco, Isaac Yiadom, Emmanuel Sanders, Philip Williams. That's a lot of guys. He says, Flacco needs to quiet the critics and ball out. The others are coming back from an injury and have a lot to prove to a new coaching staff. So I understand what you're trying to say here, Derek, but in my opinion, guys like Emmanuel Sanders and Philip Lindsay have nothing to prove. They've proved that over the course of their years. I mean, what they did on the field, they're the best players.
Philip Lindsay was a Pro Bowler, man. What are you talking about? He needs to bounce back from what? Like, he needs to step up and be an All-Pro
next
year? Come on,
man. That's going to be a new segment, too, the lost in the sauce. But, yeah, Derek, those guys don't necessarily have to prove themselves. And in terms of Isaac Yiadom, too, I'm going to go here, too. He's a young guy that, look, last year the Broncos had so much depth issues at cornerback, injuries to Tremaine Brock. They brought in Pac-Man Jones. Isaac Yiadom got thrown into the preseason, and everybody felt hesitant about playing him because he gave up a touchdown catch to Stephon Diggs on a one-yard slant route where he actually had great coverage. It was just a great throw and ball placement by Kirk Cousins to Stephon Diggs. Isaac Yiadom stepped up late for the Broncos in that Steelers game, covering Antonio Brown. And look, I like Isaac Yiadom a lot. And he had that happen too. And in the San Francisco 49ers game, it got worse after the San Francisco game. And he still played tough in it. And he also played really great in the regular season finale against the Chargers. Interception on the opening drive too. You know, he's got a lot of talent, underrated guy. And look here, I think Isaac Yiadom was his opportunities that were limited last season wasn't because of his playing ability. Absolutely not. The guy can play football. It was more so because of scheme and everything else. Look, trust me, I talked to people close to the situation last season. They wanted Isaac Yiadom to play, and nothing against Vance Joseph, but Vance Joseph was not comfortable with putting Isaac Yiadom out there on the field. And, you know, that's unfortunate for Isaac Yiadom. And, you know, it relates to a confidence thing because the Broncos brought in Bryce Callahan as well as Kareem Jackson. You know, it almost makes a young guy wonder, hey, you know, what did I do wrong? You know, are they questioning my ability? Does this mean I have to, compete for my job? Isaac Yiadom is still going to be a very pivotal piece. The Broncos fell in love with him at the Senior Bowl last season, and he did even more in the preseason, so on and so forth. He's going to be a big guy for them. Now, I'm going to get to the Joe Flacco one here because I think we already addressed all of us, our thoughts on Emmanuel Sanders, Philip Lindsay being mentioned as guys that need a rebound. I don't think that they don't have to do that. Joe Flacco, here's the thing. Joe Flacco gets a lot of slack, and a lot of people are saying he got benched because he was playing terribly. No, the moment that Lamar Jackson was drafted, he got benched when Joe Flacco went out with an injury. I mean, that was the biggest thing. Joe Flacco was balling. His third down completion percentage was in the 80%. He lit up the Broncos on third down. Great ball placement, more consistency. He's the type of guy that's a true pocket passer. In my opinion, he doesn't have to go out there and prove anything to anybody. He's got to go out there, limit turnovers, and manage the game. Really, I don't call that having to bounce back.
I mean, I would just say bounce back just for the simple point that he wants to shut up the critics. But I mean, really, though, if we're going off of the four names that were listed here, Joe Flacco is the only one that really would quantify as a bounce back candidate. I mean, I mean, Isaac Yiadom was certainly tossed into, you know, the fire, as we all said. And I would say he still played rather admirably considering the situation. And I think with Joe Flacco, I think we all could use a bounce back here. Every single time with Joe Flacco going into a new situation, going into a new team, I think a lot of people will certainly look at Joe Flacco and see, well, what will he certainly be like in this particular offense? So obviously we know publicly maybe what Elway feels about him. Whether or not they take a quarterback at 10 probably still remains to be seen. But as we all know, whether it's an Isaac Yiadom, whether it is the quarterback situation, competition breeds the best out of people. And if the Denver Broncos do address quarterback at 10, I guarantee you will get a revamped, like a renaissance version of Joe Flacco. I'm not saying he's going to be better by any means, but I guess that's the word renaissance. But the fact is that you will get probably a better looking Joe Flacco and what have you in 2019, just from the simple standpoint that the front office, everybody in that building is in full support of Joe Flacco.
Yeah. Like we said, Philip Lindsay, not a bounce back candidate. Emmanuel Sanders, not a bounce back candidate. Okay. They were the best offensive players on the team. They are recovery candidates. they are guys that need to recover from their injuries and continue doing what they're doing. So maybe something was lost in translation. Like we said, it's an open-ended thing. So I don't mean to be too rude because I kind of see where they're coming from. But yeah, honest to goodness, like Emmanuel almost made the Pro Bowl. Phil did make the Pro Bowl. They don't need to bounce back. They need to, as far as their production, they need to stay right where they are. Joe Flacco, I absolutely agree with. And you know, I think people are excited to have Joe Flacco, or the people that are, is because, well, it's not Trevor Siemian. It's not Case Keenum. You know, Joe Flacco was a pretty consistent guy, and you're not going to get a ton from him. I mean, in his best season, he's thrown 27 touchdowns and he threw 12 interceptions. Statistically, that was his best year. He has never thrown more than 27 touchdowns. Okay. He's been 27, 25, 22, 22. And the last couple of years, the number of touchdowns is a little bit too close to the number of interceptions. And so hopefully getting him into this West Coast style offense, running an offense where you have a lot of really good young players. You have second year wide receivers, second year running backs. You have, you know, hopefully a revamped offensive line. It's another thing that they're probably going to address in the draft. But the team is better overall. The offense is much better. But that's not really saying a lot because they can't get much worse than what they've been the last couple of years. So Flacco needs to bounce back, not just from last season, but from the last few seasons. Okay. And I guess the good part is they don't have a lot of money invested in him as far as quarterbacks are concerned. And when people say you don't lose your job to an injury, of course you do. I don't know who came up with that saying, but it's wrong and it's never been correct. Ask Tom Brady if people can lose their jobs to injuries. Shoot, ask Joe Flacco, because he did last year. Flacco was healthy at the end of the year. In fact, if you go back and look at the playoff game against the Chargers, they figured out Lamar Jackson. Plain and simple, they knew exactly what Lamar Jackson was going to do, when he was going to do it, before he knew that he was going to do it. And a lot of those players, from what I've heard, wanted Flacco to be put in because the Chargers knew exactly. They had Lamar Jackson figured out. Flacco was plenty healthy to come back, but didn't play. They went on a little bit of a winning streak. Lamar Jackson was exciting, us in seats. But we always see this, man. The teams are going to go for the young hotness instead of the older guy, even though he's like a proven veteran. Look at Any Given Sunday, man. Was Willie Beeman really a better quarterback? That's a different discussion for a different day. So, yeah, Flacco needs to prove himself. He's another guy coming off of an injury. Okay, so he needs to rebound from that. But it doesn't seem like it was that serious. Okay, I think that he's kind of back to 100%. I'd be shocked if he wasn't. But at the same time, Elway saying that he's in his prime now? No, that's not the case, okay? He's, I think, going to be, I know he's 33 now. He might be 34. He's not a Tom Brady. And it pains me to say that. He's not Benjamin Buttony, okay? He's not getting younger. He hasn't found the fountain of youth. If we get a season where he throws, you know, twice as many touchdowns as interceptions, and maybe he throws like 20 and 10, I'm perfectly fine with that because they need to run the ball. But Joe Flacco, see, he was 1 for 3. So in baseball, that's a very solid average. So Flacco needs to have a bounce back year. Emmanuel and Phil Lindsay, they just need to do what they're doing.
I agree with that essentially too. And you think about Joe Flacco, is he's basketball tall. I mean, if that's anything that's appealing about him, is he's basketball tall. He'll be able to see over that line of scrimmage a little bit more.
You know, that's really the only thing that Elway looks for in a quarterback.
Tall quarterbacks. And thankfully, I mean, you also have the fact that Drew Lock might be one of those guys too. So we'll find out as soon as the NFL draft approaches us here in just a few weeks. We'll have complete coverage over here at Locked On Broncos. We're going to come up with segment number 3. We're going to get into our final portion of Well Adjusted. Some great columns and discussion from Broncos country. Some things that we agree with, some things that we might challenge you guys in the dark alley, if you say it. But we're going to go through that here coming up in segment number 3. But before we get to that, I got to remind you guys to check out Adamades and Locked On Nuggets. Look, the Nuggets had one of their worst losses all season long at home to the Washington Wizards. Tonight, they're on the road at Golden State. And I tell you what, Nikola Jokic, he's got to learn how to keep his composure. The refs, they won't give anything to Nikola Jokic. They're heading into Golden State where the officials panhandle to the Golden State Warriors. How can Nikola Jokic and this Nuggets team keep their composure on the road and manage that? Adamades has you covered over there at the Locked On Nuggets podcast. All right, diving in here to our final segment of Well Adjusted with Mario Vitanzi, joined by my co-host Cameron Parker. We're diving into Broncos Country's thought of the day on which players could possibly rebound. And as Mario mentioned, it's very open-ended. It could mean, you know, they got to play better, or means that, you know, they might have to do a little bit more in 2019. You know, here's the thing about the Broncos. We heard Coach Fangio say this last week that he didn't watch a lot of film on the Broncos from last season except the guys they had to make major decisions on, and those guys like Bradley Roby decided to let them go, Matt Paradis, etc. Coach Fangio wants to see what these guys can do in his scheme, going back to fundamentals. I mean, they're going back to basics. They're stripping it down to the training wheels. They're going back to technique and position groups, position drills, and they're going to work on that extensively with position coaches. They're going to get that in the team sessions, the group periods, and it's going to be an evaluation status that they do. I mean, they film practice. They get to evaluate that on film even more so. So I think that's going to be a huge thing for the Broncos in 2019, is adjusting to the new verbiage and the lingo. I know Bryce Callahan's going to have an advantage over most guys because he's played in Coach Fangio's system, but guys like Chris Harris Jr., the veterans, I think it's going to be fun to watch how they evolve in 2019. But let's get to our next topic of discussion. We're going to hear from Mile High Memories. He says all the tight ends. So we're talking about Jeff Heuermann, Jake Button. And here's the interesting part, too. And we discussed this a little bit. The one thing with these guys, with Jeff Heuermann, Jake Butt, is injury history can be a pain. And look, we're not faulting athletes. You know, I think a lot of times professional athletes get a bad flack from fans on social media because of the fact that they've been injured in the past. I mean, if you go to anything that Jeff Heuermann posts, or, you know, a guy like Jake Butt posts, just to see the comments from people, it's kind of sickening and inhumane, because these guys are trying everything that they can to stay healthy, and they would love to go through an entire 16-game season making it fully healthy without getting, you know, nicked up, having broken ribs or a punctured lung, or, you know, a torn ACL. It's professional sports. You know, it happens. So don't be hard on the guys for that. Now, for them, I think they get, you know, Jeff Heuermann proved to the Broncos last season he can be a value to them. He's an underrated blocker. He's pretty good containing the edge on that defensive end. You know, they used him a lot of times to help out a tackle Garrett Bowles or even Jared Valdir in situations when he was healthy, when he didn't get hurt, and he was a good blocker out there. Jake Butt, I mean, these guys were becoming a dynamic group, in my opinion. We didn't get to see enough of that, unfortunately, because I felt like the Broncos found themselves in situations where they became down in games, and, you know, they had to find ways to make it happen. Go back to the 10-catch game that Jeff Heuermann had against the Houston Texans. I mean, the Broncos are trying to get back into distance to win that game. So, of course, you're going to have to pass a little bit more. We talk about the discrepancy in yesterday's episode of the Broncos not running enough with the football with Royce Freeman and Phillip Lindsay. There was maybe, you know, between the two of them, 18 total carries in a majority of the games last year, especially the games that the Broncos had lost. They didn't run the ball enough. And so, with the tight ends, you got to see playmaking. I mean, there's also some interest in Dawson Knox out of Ole Miss. The crazy thing about that is he's a tall guy. The Broncos have some options in this year's draft. I doubt it's round one. I doubt it's round two.
If there's one thing I love, it's a tall football player.
And John Elway fall in love with tall tight ends. Well, you know what? I would be very happy with that. I mean, look at it. You know, Rob Gronkowski just retired. That opens things up a little bit. You still have Kyle Rudolph, Travis Kelce. You still have some good tight ends in the league. And guess what? They're taller players. You got to have that element. You can't have a 5'11", 6-foot guy tight end. You got to have a 6'5" guy that's just going to go up and climb.
I want a 6'10" tight end. Go find me one of those.
Hey, you know, I would love that too. I mean, I don't think they make them anymore. And you're also kind of seeing tight end positions kind of being scrapped a little bit in certain offenses around college football. It's really, really odd. A lot of times they're going to start splitting tight ends out, except the teams that go back to, I mean, Alabama, they don't do anything too special. They go old school, under center, I formation. They'll do a lot of different things. You don't see a lot of teams doing it. You see everything so spread, empty, four receiver sets. It's just crazy. College football is evolving, and you're not seeing a lot of those inline guys anymore at the tight end position. So I think the tight ends do definitely have to kind of come out this year and really look. I think the only question is, can they stay healthy? I think if they can, I think that Jeff Heuermann can be a decent guy for the Broncos, a reliable target for Joe Flacco.
I think for me, the oddest question is, who is the best bounce back candidate? Is it Jake Butt or is it Jeff Heuermann? Because, I mean, in all honesty, and if we're being honest, I mean, if Jake Butt was healthy for a full season, we saw what Case Keenum had as far as the relationship goes with Jake Butt at the beginning point of the season. I mean, he proved himself to be a very, very reliable tight end at the early point of the season and even into the OTAs and into training camp. And it took a while for Case Keenum to really re-engage with the relationship of the tight end group, and then therein lied Jeff Heuermann. So I think my point would be, who's and it's a hard one, because I mean, who would be the best bounce back candidate between the two? I mean, obviously ACL injuries, multiple ACL injuries is a very tricky situation. And for Jake Butt, I mean, it's an unfortunate situation for him. But I mean, it's not necessarily a discussion for a thought of the day, but I mean, if Jake Butt is healthy for a full season, and certainly what we saw for a full season, I almost wonder, do the Denver Broncos even acquire Joe Flacco because of the relationship that Case Keenum certainly had with Jake Butt at the early point of the season?
Yeah, I would say Jeff Heuerman is my probably the biggest, the top guy on this list of who needs to have a bounce back here. Clearly, they see something in him because they brought him back for 2 years. Okay, this wasn't like, oh, we drafted him, we should keep him, it'd be a nice little story. Like, this is the NFL, man. Nobody really cares about that. Clearly, they like Jeff Heuerman and what they see from him when he's on the field. Jake Butt, I guess he's a bounce back candidate because he was starting to show out. You know, he had some production. But again, you know, he hasn't really shown anything in the NFL. He was arguably a late first round, early second round pick until he tore his ACL in that bowl game. We all know he dropped to the fifth round, the first pick of the fifth round. So we're still waiting to see what exactly he has. We got glimpses of it. We got flashes of it. But the man needs to stay healthy. So I would say he's more of like a comeback from the injury candidate. But Jeff Heuerman is definitely at the top of that list. Jeff Heuerman is a freak athlete for a tight end. And I know that might sound crazy to some people, mm-hmm. but it's absolutely true. And like I said, man, I cannot believe Jeff Heuerman. He would not be on this team right now. They made the choice. He was like, think of it this way. That was one of their signings in free agency. You know, we all know about the corners and Juwan James. Jeff Heuerman was a free agent signing. He was a free agent. They signed him because they thought that he could help this team and he came at a good value. That being said, I would be very surprised if the team doesn't go out and get a tight end at some point. I know a lot of fans are starting to fall in love with TJ Hockenson just because it's a name. People like the name. He's a very well-rounded tight end. But then something you got to ask yourself is he good enough to be 10th overall? You know, a lot of the top tight ends that we see, George Kittle, Travis Kelce, Rob Gronkowski, if memory serves me correct, Zach Ertz, they weren't first round picks. They're second, third, fourth round picks, whenever it was. So do you risk in a draft that has so much defensive talent on the top end, do you risk bringing in a tight end who, you know, might play a bit of a role, like depending on the offense that you want to run, depending on how he develops? So again, like, not, let me get back on track here. Heuerman needs to bounce back. We've seen what he does, because I don't think they're going to get Hockenson. I would be a little bit surprised unless they trade back. So as far as I'm concerned, unless they do somehow end up with Hockenson, Fant, or even Irv Smith Jr., the tight end, the top tight end, the number one guy is Jeff Heuerman. And he needs to be able to, A, stay healthy all year, and B, produce while he's on the field. Joe Flacco likes throwing to the tight end. You need a pass-catching tight end in order to make Joe Flacco feel comfortable. So if you're coming in here with a Matt Lacoste and a Brian Parker, like, nothing against those guys, but that's not necessarily what we're looking for at the tight end position. You need a big, physical, athletic freak. And believe it or not, if you were listening to this, that is absolutely Jeff Heuerman. He just needs to stay healthy. So he would be my number one bounce back candidate for sure.
If he can stay healthy, he reminds me a little bit of Owen Daniels, who, you know, was underratedly athletic, a big, big part of that Broncos 2015 team. Like I said, I think the Broncos haven't had that type of playmaking tight end since Owen Daniels has been on the team, and that's definitely been a hindering factor for the last three seasons. Heading into year number four, the Broncos need that. Jeff Heuerman can be that guy. Them signing him to a two-year, $9 million extension, that says everything about what they believe he can be. We're going to move on here. We got a couple more suggestions here. This one I will read just to get a rise out of you guys. At the Real Fan 02 says, Justin Simmons, contract year, and I think he's good, but if he has an average year or worse, I don't see us bringing him back. That is absolutely not true. The Broncos will be bringing him back because, to be honest with you, he hasn't had as bad of a year as a lot of people are saying that he had. They won't give up on a young guy like Justin Simmons. They see him as a centerpiece for that defense for the future. They see a lot of promise as well with Will Parks. So look for both Justin Simmons and Will Parks to possibly get a contract extension during the offseason of this next year. They're going to have a big, big season. They got to come up big. Justin Simmons is going to be that guy, though. The Broncos have not given up on him, and this is absolutely asinine to say that they will give up on him.
Yeah, 100%. And I think as I'm kind of perusing through this one, honestly, the biggest bounce back candidate, if really there is one, even though it's with the offensive line, would be the entire offensive line unit. I mean, you could literally single out numerous guys, actually two guys, like Ronald Leary and Garrett Bowles in particular, because, I mean, simply put, the hiring of Mike Munchak alone will make that unit better. I mean, you could go up and down between Connor McGovern, or among Connor McGovern, Garrett Bowles, Ronald Leary, and Juwan James, even, of taking his game to the next level. And who knows where that right guard is gonna be, with maybe Sam Jones, the local kid, in the mix. I don't know. But the fact is that entire unit, in my estimation, as far as if we're going to go just strictly based off of unit, might be the best bounce back unit. And that would be the offensive line.
Yeah, I'm all for that. The whole Justin Simmons thing, man. Like,
I'm not even gonna get you started.
I'm not even gonna touch that. Okay, I'm not gonna. Yeah, don't get me started. If you put a quarter in, the whole song's got to play. So let me just nip this in the bud. The Broncos would be foolish to let Justin Simmons go this entire year without re-upping him, because mark my words, with this Fangio defense, he will be better. Now that Darian Stewart's gone, and with this Fangio defense, Will Parks will be better. You let them play out this entire year, and we saw some of the contracts. I wouldn't necessarily put them in the same breath quite yet as a Landon Collins, Tyrann Mathieu, because those are big name guys, right? They absolutely have the potential to get to that point. But we saw those guys kind of broke the bank as far as safety is concerned, because in my opinion, you know, safety more or less is a dime a dozen. You find a fast, big, athletic guy who can cover in space, and you know, you have yourself a safety. It's like the number of elite safeties has drastically dropped, in my opinion, over the last decade in the NFL. It's because the game is changing. You know, guys are looking more for like a physical corner as opposed to a safety, or they're looking for that safety linebacker hybrid kind of guy, like how TJ Ward was with us. It's kind of like what Tyrann Mathieu and Landon Collins do. That's why they get paid the big bucks, right? If they let these guys play the whole year, let's say Justin ends up making a Pro Bowl, Will Parks has a breakout year, which I think he absolutely will, because he's going to be on the field. And when he's on the field, he makes plays. Their asking price tag is going to be way higher. So they would be very smart if they were to lock these guys down before the season starts, give them 3-4 year deals. Shoot, give them a 2-year deal. Give them a nice little hefty 2-year deal. Keep them around. And then if you want to try your luck and then pay them the big salary after the next 2 years, do that. All I'm saying is they need to lock these guys down sooner rather than later if they want them to be Broncos in the future. Because if they're not going to pay them like close to a max deal at the rate that safeties are going now, when, you know, the market is kind of expanded on safeties again, then they're not going to be able to afford to re-sign a Justin Simmons and a Will Parks and, let's say, an Adam Gotsis and a Chris Harris, who's expecting a new deal and is probably going to hold out. They got to get their finances in order. You got to save money. So take a chance on these guys. They've proven it to you. Get them in there. See what I'm saying? You put a quarter in and the whole song's got to play. This dude got me way off track. All right. So let's get back to it. Really, let me give you who was one of my top guys aside from Jeff Heuermann. I'm going to go ahead and say Royce Freeman. I absolutely loved Royce at Oregon. You know, watching his film, he's just one of these guys where he makes it look easy. It looks like he's not even really running that hard, but he's still fast. It looks like he's not trying that hard, but he's breaking arm tackles. There were only two running backs in the entire league last year who on a percentage basis faced more eight-man boxes, and that was Leonard Fournette, and I can't remember the other one. I say like Isaiah Crowell, or it was a team that couldn't really throw the ball. So not only is that a lot of respect to Royce Freeman, but it's a little bit of an indictment on how that offense was run. But I digress. Royce Freeman, I think, is the perfect complement to Phillip Lindsay. They need to really play their cards right, because we could have an Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram situation. They just need to figure out how to use these guys properly. So the reason that I would say Royce is not like a bounce back, or isn't like an injury bounce back candidate, is because he showed us what he had. Now, the problem is when he got hurt in the middle of the season, he came back. It seems as though they rushed him back. Now, it was either the team or him. We don't really know what happens behind closed doors. But when Royce Freeman came back from that ankle injury, I think he suffered it against Arizona, he was not the same Royce Freeman that we had seen in the first part of the season, you know, the early goings of the season. I'm sure you guys remember that Chiefs game where if they just kept feeding Royce and Phil, I think the Broncos not only win that game, they win by a couple possessions. They got away from the run and they lost the game. That team could not handle Royce Freeman. So if we get that Royce Freeman back and he bounces back and gets kind of back into the form that he was earlier part of the year, and you pair that with Phillip Lindsay, who you pretty much know what you're going to get, this is definitely a top five backfield, in my opinion, potentially higher because they're both second year guys. You know, they have not even come close to reaching their ceiling yet. So Royce Freeman is my big time, you know, aside from Jeff Heuerman, he's my big time bounce back candidate. And he's going to be an absolute monster as long as they use him properly and they run the freaking ball.
I love it, too, because I watched Royce at Oregon for four seasons, and I loved watching him. He's definitely a guy that he played as a freshman, you know, true freshman down there at Oregon. He played with Mariota. Those two were really fun to watch. And I think with Coach Scangarello's scheme, just based on paper, it's going to be very familiar for what Royce Freeman was used to at Oregon. So I think it's going to open things up for him, especially on the stretch plays. Those are one of his favorite moves, also running into the B and the C gaps. But I think also the stretch play, he's deceptively good on the outside. If the tackle can hook that D end or the outside linebacker and close him in, he's going to break those tackles that those inside backers or the dime backers or the safeties are going to play, unless, you know, like you were going up against a guy like Cam Chancellor or Earl Thomas for that matter. You know, those guys might be able to stop him. But realistically, once Royce Freeman breaks that second level, he's going to lower his shoulder and he's going to keep running. He's a hard guy to bring down, and I think he's going to have a big, big season for Denver in 2019. We actually talked about that in yesterday's episode. So Mario, bring in the heat, writing prescriptions there, and well adjusted here on Locked On Broncos.
Hey man, there's not a lot of cornerbacks and safeties that want to tackle this guy. I guarantee you that. And then real quick, it just came to me. See, I get to ranting, and then, you know, my thoughts get jumbled. So back to it, Cam, you brought up the offensive line, and I think that's excellent too. You look at what that offensive line did, all things considered, where you had two tackles playing guards, you had a guard playing center, and then you had kind of a rotating door at right tackle. Valdir played most of the year, did deal with some injuries as well, but the right tackle was a question mark. You know, the guard positions were a question mark. The center was a question mark when Paradis went down. And I know Bowles gets a lot of flack. I know people refer to him as Garrett Holtz. But if you look at the jump that he made between his rookie year and his second year, I think it's substantial. And it's left tackles really get a raw deal, man, because let's say that you shut down a guy for an entire game. Let's say you're shutting down a Joey Bosa for the entire game, who the Broncos are going to have to face twice a year. And you give up, you know, one sack or half a sack because the quarterback holds onto the ball a little bit too long or whatever else happens. If he drops back to throw the ball 35 times and he gets one sack and 34 other times you stop him, that's a bad game for the left tackle. And that is kind of unfair, but that's also the position that they're in. So you look at the strides that Garrett Bowles made. And not to necessarily come to his defense, because I know people expected a lot more out of him as a rookie, but he was a rookie. He was playing in an offense where Trevor Siemian was the quarterback. He couldn't really see over the line. He couldn't throw a 5-yard out to save his life. And then you go to a Case Keenum, and a lot of people thought, well, it's going to be better because Case sees the ball well. They're going to do a lot of play action. He's going to get rid of the ball. Didn't happen. Case held on to the ball a lot. He would drift back into the pocket because he's 6 foot nothing and couldn't see over the line of all these guys that are 6'5", 6'6". He couldn't throw a 5-10-yard out either. And we touched on that last week. So you incorporate Mike Munchak now, who, in my opinion, I'm going to hold strong to this, that was their best acquisition, including the free agents, including everybody else, like the new coaches that they got, Fangio, everyone else. I think Mike Munchak is going to be the biggest difference maker on this team, because this offensive line is a very good run blocking offensive line. For all the crap that Garrett Bowles got as a pass protector, he is an absolutely fantastic run blocker. You go look at some of those long run plays that Phillip Lindsay had, they were sprung by a Garrett Bowles block. So now you incorporate Mike Munchak into him, and we all know that Garrett is a freak athlete. That's why they liked him so much coming out of Utah. And he has had a problem with holding. He does have a little bit of an anger problem where sometimes the game gets a little bit too big for him. And we saw that earlier on in the year. We saw that his rookie year. He was starting to correct that as the season went on. And that is exactly the role that a Mike Munchak is going to play. Mike Munchak made a linear move to the Broncos to keep this same position. I don't think people realize, the casual fan doesn't realize how big that Mike Munchak acquisition is. He is going to be the absolute cornerstone in turning this offensive line around. You finally have the right tackle position locked up. Juwan James, hopefully you're set for a really long time there. The interior offensive line, obviously a big question mark. I think Ron Leary is going to be back and he's going to be fine from what I've heard. They're moving him to the right side of the line. And I would be absolutely shocked if they did not address like left guard slash center at some point in the draft, probably early on, probably like a day two pick, especially if they end up trading back like later into the first round or they get an additional second round pick. I would put the mortgage on my house. I would bet that they are going to draft an offensive lineman, interior offensive lineman, if that happens.
It's going to be Don Risner.
So that would be nice, man. I would take that. But here's the thing. Can you have a bounce back year? This offensive line played a lot better than people give them credit for.
Absolutely.
They were a top five running team, despite the fact that they did not run the ball enough. And they were 10th in sacks allowed. And I think I mentioned that either last week or when I hopped on with you, Cam, on your show. They were 10th in the NFL in sacks allowed. And that's despite the fact that they didn't run nearly enough play action, that Case Keenum showed that he did not have great pocket presence. So all of these uneducated fans that thought that, oh, our offensive line sucked, our offensive line is so bad, like, no, you just don't understand football. Taking all things into consideration of what this offensive line had to do, this offensive line I thought was fantastic last year. And they're only going to get better because they're going to have guys on this line, hopefully, playing their God-given positions.
They haven't had that in quite some time. And Mike Munchak, a guy who was the runner-up in the Broncos head coaching search, the fact that the Broncos were able to secure both of them speaks volumes to what they can become. I mean, the culture looks very, very tough. You have so much experience on that coaching staff overall that it makes all of us look very, very young, which we are at heart, hopefully, knock on wood. But that's one of the things I look forward to. A big storyline for the Broncos in 2019, will the offensive line look like? Right now, obviously losing Matt Paradis, everybody's freaking out, rightfully so. But hey, come into it with an open mind. The Broncos have a plan. They have the best O-line coach in football. That provides enough security and reassurance in my head that I'm going to be confident when they step onto the field in September. But we're running out to the end of the show here on Locked On Broncos. Our well-adjusted with Mario Vitanzi, co-host Cameron Parker as well. Every week, we're going to be dialing it up with the doc. He's going to write us a prescription of all things Broncos related. So I want to thank Mario for jumping into the pod today. Cam, for joining as always. We're going to be back with another episode of the show tomorrow morning. So guys, thank you so much. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes or the Himalaya podcast app. And don't forget to leave and write a review on iTunes for Locked On Broncos. Leave us a 5-star review. Leave your Twitter handle in that review. You're going to be entered into a contest that is coming up. And don't forget, if you're in the area, check out Mario at Vitanzi Therapy.